Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Today being Father's Day, I know that you probably have some plans and some things to do, but we want to place highest priority upon the supreme Word of God. And in this brief message today, there will be something in it in the way of principle for all of us, but certainly for fathers. And if you are a young man in this room, and you are not yet a father, whether you are single or you are married, but you are not yet a father, I want you to open your ears this morning. And maybe not just your ears, but you would open your heart. Because I will tell you this, and I want you to remember this. There is a direct correlation between being a good father and learning how to be a good father. Not necessarily by just having a good father, that is very true. But you will learn to be a good father by being a good son. And I want you to know, to be a good son, it does not take a good father. I know that there are people probably in this room who, men and women alike, who maybe you don't know who your father even is. Maybe you never had the chance to meet your father, or you did, but you were so small you don't remember. Maybe your father was in your home for part of your life, and difficulties came, and the family didn't stay together. Maybe dad was taken from you. Maybe dad was at home, but he wasn't really a dad. Runs the full spectrum, all of us. But I want you to remember this, that the scripture says a father in heaven will be a father to who? The fatherless. And it doesn't mean that you weren't fatherless in the sense that because there was your biological dad or a stepdad in the picture, but they weren't really a father to you. I want you to know that that opportunity is an opportunity for God to be a father to the fatherless. And I want you to remember that. And we've got men in this room. You know, Father's Day is always a little tricky because, you know, we have a concern as a church, the role of men in society, men in the homes, fathers, husbands. It's always a little tricky because here we are supposed to be the man, the big dog, and yet we carry some very tender issues, maybe out of the relationship we have with our own dad or the lack. And yet we're trying to do this man up thing and be a father and be a dad. Father's Day is always a little tricky because we want to appear to be the men, and yet, you know, we got the heart of a little boy sometimes that's been crushed. Whether it was through abuse or whether it was just some neglect or a lot of disappointment. Just be thankful that none of you had a dad, you men, that named you Sue. Right? For all you Johnny Cash fans, right? I want to read to you from 1 Timothy and from 2 Timothy. And we're going to read some selective verses, and I'm not going to tell you all the verses. I'm just going to read some portions and jump through and just really make a few comments this morning. To be a good father, you can plant seeds by being a good son. Before we look at the scripture, remember that. You can plant good seeds for fatherhood by being a good son. You know about planting, right? Sowing and reaping. And if it's too late and you're saying, you know what? I was not a good son. It doesn't mean you're not going to be a good dad. We know that in God everything is redeemed. I'm just saying that you can begin to sow some seeds as a son about fatherhood. That's what we get to do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Paul was not Timothy's biological father. And one of the seasons of Paul's life as he writes these letters to Timothy was at a time where Paul felt some of those who were working with him and advancing the gospel had left him. And he mentions some of their names throughout this book and through 2 Timothy. He mentions some of their names. They kind of went off here, they went off there. Some he sent to go do work. Some just left him. He made a comment about one and said, you know, he loved the world more than the kingdom. And so he had a couple people leave him and no longer partner with him. And times got tough. And, you know, some of his partners in the gospel, seemingly partners, left him. And so he's writing at a time where he's feeling just a little bit alone. And he writes to Timothy, he says, to my true son in the faith. In other words, Timothy, you haven't left me. You haven't left the gospel. You haven't left, you know, building the kingdom. You haven't left those things that I've taught you. And he talks about how he saw the faith in Jesus live in him. Okay? Live in him like his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois. And so, Paul writes this to my true son in the faith. And when we read that, this question comes to me. I'm just going to share it with you. The question is, do I have any true sons in the faith? Because this isn't just about being a father in my or a father to my children at home. I mean, I want to have a son and three daughters in the faith. True son, true daughters in the faith. But beyond that, because we are in the church, we have a call to motherhood and fatherhood. Who are your sons in the faith? Because this happens. Let's face it, this happens to us as parents. Our children grow up, they leave home. They do leave home. It's okay to be a boomerang for a while. Go to school, come back home. That's good. We like that. They do leave home. And what happens is, you know, parenting's not over. We hear that from empty nesters all the time. Oh, yeah, you think it's over? Uh-uh. They're calling, they're needing, they're wanting, they're, oh, your parenting still goes on. But what happens is that the parenting role, it doesn't change. It's just not living in your house constant day after day and all the demands. And it begins to change. And so we come to this new stage of life. But I want you to know that within the church, our parenting is not over. We are still supposed to be fathers and mothers to others in the faith, that we can have true sons and true daughters in the faith. And so the question is this: where is your true son or true daughter in the faith? Men in this room, think about this. Beyond your children, biological children, can you say, so-and-so is my true son in the faith? If we can't say that, then we have dropped the ball on discipleship. And discipleship, by the way, doesn't come in a manual, and it doesn't just come in a book, and it just doesn't come in a classroom, and we call that discipleship. Discipleship certainly is teaching and instructing, but it's learning to do some things together. It's learning to have life beyond the classroom together. That life becomes this lab. You remember in school, you did the textbook part over here, and then over here you had all the sinks and the Bunsen burners. The day one when you walked in, you said, forget the class. Get me over there by the stuff. class and lab. And discipleship is that. Oh, there's book learning, and there's words of wisdom, and there's teaching. But there's experiencing and doing things together. That we learn beyond head knowledge. And some of the, let's face it, a lot of the things that we learn, nobody ever told us. It's things we captured, grasped by observing, by living in the culture, by living in the atmosphere that was created for us, that was around us. And so we begin to gather and experience and learn and have knowledge. Melissa and Chad, if you guys need a hand, we've got a nursery too, whatever you need to do, all right? But we got somebody in there that can help you if you need, all right? We're fine with it. It's just if you're needing some help, it's there for you. And so we learn not just by head, but by life change. Discipleship, understand, discipleship is not complete. You could say, oh, I was discipled by so-and-so. They were like a father in the faith to me, and I was their son. Understand that discipleship is not complete until our life takes on formation, a change. And then we duplicate what was done for us. So here's the thing. You're not really a disciple of Jesus until you disciple someone else. Follow? You're not a disciple until you've discipled someone. If you were discipled by someone, you didn't complete the process unless you have a son or daughter in the faith. That you have done something in the way of now it has been given to me, I'm still learning, but I'm going to give it away. I've gone through a life formation, and now the life formation has to happen for someone else. And when our children leave our home, we think parenting is kind of over, not really. We still have touch with our own children. But what about the body of Christ? What about this family? Paul writes and says, Timothy, my true son in the faith. And he writes him these letters. And he invested in Timothy. He spoke to him. He spent time with Timothy. All of these things. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's a common start again, by the way, in the book of 2 Timothy. In verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, to Timothy, my dear son. My true son in the faith, my dear son. But in chapter 2, I'm going to start there, and I'm going to read some random verses as we go through these books in 2 Timothy. Paul writes things like this to Timothy. And these, as I read through the book of Timothy, I'm hearing these words like they're directed to me. But then, because of the understanding of discipleship, I've got to take these words, and they have got to be in me, and now they've got to come out of me to someone else. And so when I look at things like this, I'll be honest with you, I picture my own son because it's an easy correlation. But it has to go beyond my son to other people. So I hear it for myself, and then I hear me say it to my own son. Paul writes things like this to Timothy. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Listen to those words. In other words, Timothy, I've modeled this for you. I've said these things for you. I have treated you like a son, and you've responded to me like I was your father in the faith. And the things that were entrusted to you, guard these things. Cherish these things. Don't let them slip away. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you. You know what? That is a great phrase. And Paul makes, he alludes to this a couple of times. We'll probably read another verse that he says, you know, I'm telling you this, Timothy, I'm writing this to you, but you know what? I'm leaving room for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has got to help you. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal this to you. I'm reminded that I've got to leave room for the Holy Spirit. I was having a talk with my son just a couple of weeks ago. I went and picked him up. It was late in the evening. It was dark. We pulled into the driveway, put the car in park, and then we were talking, and our conversation continued. And we just sat there in the car, in the driveway. And he asked some questions, and I was sharing with him of what I thought, reminded him of some scriptures. And we just talked together. And then it was like, you know, I really want to kind of drive this home to him. And he interrupted me. God bless him. He did it respectfully, but he said, Dad, you've already said that three times. Dad, you're starting to repeat yourself. And I said, son, I'm sorry. It's just, you know what? I feel this is so important, and I'm sorry. I don't want to make you deaf to it because I've said it too many times. I just want you to get it. But there's a point where I have to tell him a couple of times. And then you know what? I got to leave room for the Holy Spirit. That's a hard thing to do when you're a parent who wants to, you get it, you be perfect, you be, you know, that, you know, we want to control it all, we want to, you know, I'm going to step in and take, and they never learn. They never learn the voice of the Spirit. They just learn the voice of Dad. And what happens when Dad is gone? Oh, we remember some things, but they never learn the relationship in the interaction of the Holy Spirit. Paul's writing these things to Timothy, and he says, but the Holy Spirit will help you. Leave room as a father. Leave room for the Holy Spirit. Now, don't use that on the other side of the coin as a big excuse saying, well, I don't need to invest. I don't need to spend time. I don't need to do that. I just, you know, kind of leave the Holy Spirit do it all. That's not what we're called to in fatherhood either. Paul, he writes these things and says, guard it. But the Holy Spirit, he's going to help. He's going to help. Paul writes things like this. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. See, there's the great discipleship verse. He's already telling Timothy, listen, that which I've given you, that which I've invested in you, that which you have become, that which what lives in you, listen, you have to do this for other people who are going to be reliable. Because that completes the process of discipleship. And it becomes perpetual again. He writes to him in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Talking to him about being a man. That's what that is to me. You learn how to endure. And things aren't always easy, even in the sake of the gospel. And you know what? Even when they're tough, you submit yourself to the one who commands over you. If we can learn those principles, we'll be good fathers, not only good sons. Similar, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Timothy, here's the deal, Timothy. It's like an athlete. You're going to train. You're going to do some things. You're going to do things behind the scenes, and you're going to do things out in front of people. Okay? That's an athlete. They train when nobody's there. They run the back roads. It's adverse weather. They're still doing it. Nobody's watching. Nobody's cheering them on. And then there's the race. Then there's the moment. The training and the competition. He says it's like that. Similar, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does it to receive the victor's crown. But he's got to do it according to the rules. Timothy, there are no shortcuts. There are no entitlements. There's none of these special things are slacking off. Here's the deal, Timothy. You got to do it according to God's commands and God's principles. We as fathers, we have a hard time passing some of those things on to our children when we see that we haven't always played by the rules. And we think, if I say this, I'm going to be a hypocrite. Now that's bait. We take the bait that I'll be a hypocrite if I tell them what's right and I haven't always done what's right. Listen, I got to tell you something. Children are not interested in hypocrisy. But the other thing is this. They don't need us to be perfect. Your children, they don't need us to be perfect. We've been growing up for, well, every generation without perfect parents. Listen to this, fathers. Your children don't need you to be perfect. They need to see you make a mistake and then how to mend it. They need to see what it is for a man to be defined by humility, by apology, by tenderness, and the strength of every one of those values. Your children don't need you to be perfect. My children, hey, they have grown up in my house. They have seen Sue make mistakes. I mean, me make mistakes. What they need to see is not just the mistake, but does Dad know how to say, I'm sorry? Does Dad know how to say, I treated you unfairly? Does Dad know how to make sure that I'm cared for when I'm hurt and when he did the hurting, when it was unjustified and when it was justified? You see, they don't need us to be perfect. They need us to be real. And we don't want to ever appear weak. I grew up in a household, and now things have changed because the Lord has changed my dad dramatically from when I was a kid to who he is now. But I remember growing up thinking that my dad had no weakness. But he had them. And I learned that you're supposed to hide them. And I don't mean we should wear them out on our sleeve. But I never got to see my dad deal with weakness until it was later for me in life. I got to see snapshots when I'd go back home, see, and watched my dad and the Lord, how he changed him. Our kids are looking for us not to take the bait of, though I haven't lived perfect, therefore it disqualifies me from telling you the truth. Don't you take the bait of that, sir, father. Even where you have failed and you know the truth, you still speak the truth to your children, but you don't have to do it in hypocrisy. You can do it in being real and being genuine and simply saying, I have failed. And I don't want it for you, and I know that you will. But God knows how to redeem us. So when I tell you this principle, understand the principle is true. And I'm working on that principle myself. So why don't we grow together? You see, that they can respect. Because then they learn the voice of the Spirit. They learn the principles of life. And they understand that yes, Jesus is the only righteous one, but he knows how to make us righteous. And it's a journey. And it's a walk. And God is faithful. And he writes, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying to you, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Once again, Paul says, here's the principle, here's the truth. Here it is, Timothy, but you reflect on it, God will reveal to you all that I'm saying. He's leaving room for the Holy Spirit again. He didn't have to be Randy in the car with his son telling him three times. He left room for the Spirit. He leaves room for the Spirit. That's what a good father does. He leaves room for the Holy Spirit to work. Not that we have to control everything. He says things like this to Timothy in Practical Living: avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Wow. Isn't that great? The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. There you go, Timothy. Reminding you to be holy. Discipline yourself. He says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish, stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Oh, wow, what great teaching. And you know the greatest way to teach this to your children, fathers? Is by modeling that one. By modeling that one. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. In other words, Timothy, here's the deal. You're going to play by the rules. You're going to invest in people. You're going to invest in reliable men. Understand that they're going to hurt you. And they're going to mistreat you. And you're still going to be nice. And you're not going to hold resentment. You're going to continue to live free and be about God's business. And not be distracted. And not weighed down or taken away from the target or the goal. Timothy, this is how you're going to live. True son in the faith, those who oppose you must gently be instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who he has taken captive to do his will. He's just talking to Timothy. He's not just writing about how to pastor, but how to be a good son and how to become a good father. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's writing to Timothy about. Yeah, you're a pastor, and yeah, you're going to do this, but you know what? You've got to be a father in the faith. You have been a true son, and you have planted good seeds for fatherhood. But your fatherhood, Timothy, is going to go beyond just your body and biological children. It was fun to listen to Mark up here, alias Billy. Talk about, I'm going to work with teenagers and I want to have this impact and, you know, I need God to help. My mind, Mark, as you began to say that, my mind went to days previous, before I was married, when I used to travel and do camps and even after I was married, where I traveled full time, and I would do small retreats to large gatherings to international gatherings, all these places. It just started to go through my mind, all the places where I was on staff in a church or youth pastor. All my mind, Mark, it just started to flood as you were talking about this. Because I'll tell you the really cool thing. A day will come for you. A day will come where somebody's going to track you down, and it's real easy now through the whole internet web thing. And they're going to track you down and say, are you the guy who went to wherever it is in Poland? Say, were you that guy? And you're going to go, yeah, that was me. I was one of those. I promise you that kind of stuff happens. It happens, I'll tell you what, it has happened more in my life than I would have ever dreamed. Hey, were you the guy who preached at this? Were you the guy who came to this retreat? My wife, she got, from the internet, she said, were you, I know your last name, it's changed, but you gave your maiden name. Did you go to England back in blah, 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 blah? And Sue was like, yeah. I want you to know that you had an impact on my life, Sue. I was one of those teenagers in England when you came. This is decades later. You will get old, Mark. My wife shows up at some meeting for youth pastors, and one of the youth pastors says, are you married to Randy? I was a student at North Central University when he came and preached in our chapel. And when he said this and this, and wow, you're married to a really great communicator. My wife was going, yeah, right. And all of a sudden this stuff comes back. They are like, and granted, they, you know, I only had pockets of opportunity with some. Some I lived with for a while and pastored for a while. But you know what? They have become true sons in the faith. Where are our true sons, true daughters in the faith? What kind of fathers, I know it's Father's Day, what kind of mothers in the faith are we? Yeah, we want to start at home with our family, but this is God's family. Parenting is not over. Fatherhood is not over. You can be an empty nester. Fatherhood is not over. You can be a single man. You just never got married. You're a single man. You're, I don't know, you're 28 years old, whatever. And you know what? You could still be a father in the faith. Single women, you can be a mother in the faith. See, that's what fatherhood's about. It's not just about biological. It's about the kingdom. Close with this. For I'm already poured out, he's writing Timothy, already poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. In other words, I'm gonna be killed. I'm going to lose my head for the gospel, Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. It's reminding us and reminding our sons and daughters in the faith that, you know what, there's a race and it's worth running because there's a crown. There's a race and there's a crown. You know, it's hard to remember when we're in the race. It's hard to remember when we're in the race and we pull into the driveway and it's about to rain and you know you got to cut the grass and you have this to do and you've got a list on the fridge that was authored by someone else of what you have to do. And it's hard in that moment to remember that we are in the race because it's like, I got this to do, and does this really matter, and does this really count? Where's the kingdom value in this? I'll tell you the kingdom value in every one of those situations. Fathers, mothers, children, husbands, wives. Running the race then is purely about character. Then it's purely about character. See, there's a race, but there's a crown. It's not just about preaching to our kids. Even though we can tell them things from the scripture and you can pound it and you can do, I want you to know something. I discovered back when I was traveling full time and going and doing camps and different things like that, especially in the youth days. Gino, you know what I discovered? I discovered that the services went better at night and a greater response to the altar if I took time and played with the kids during the day. Pray for the anointing. Got to have the anointing. God, you got to touch me. You got to touch my mouth. You got to touch my heart. You got. But you know what? All of that was good and right, and God does it. But if I took time during the day to run around the camp and involve myself in some of the activities with the kids, that was part of the race. It wasn't about just the preaching. And it's not just about the preaching in our homes. Found out my son listens better when I mess around with him and joke and do stuff with him. Found out that my daughters actually listen better if I let them be them and I hold them anyhow. Because there's moments that they're easy to hold. And then there's moments that they're not so easy to hold. Because they're women. And because I'm a man, and I don't get it. But I can still hold them. They listen better And if you think the only way to have a true son and daughter in the faith is just pound them with rules and pound them with this and make sure they're perfect, let me tell you something. You've already lost them. Let's be honest. How did you get lost? Right? Hey, we hear the stories all the time, and it's sad. Oh, yeah, my dad was a preacher. He was so busy with the church. Never really thought about me. We hear the stories like that all the time. And come on, that's the pastor. You know, spiritual guy, the kingdom guy, the hallelujah guy. Listen, there's a story and a testimony, and I will not use names. Well known around the world. That son had to make an appointment to see his father. And when he saw his father, he always called him pastor. Hey, if you're in this room and you're saying, boy, too late. I already screwed up with most of my kids. Can you say screwed up from the pulpit? I don't know. If you can't, I just screwed up. Hey, it's not too late. And maybe some things have been lost with our own children in our home. The sorrow of that seems to follow us all the days of our life. But you know what? Don't let that take you out of commission in your family and certainly in God's family. It's time for us to be fathers. And if we don't know how, look at Jesus. He was a great son. And he always talked about the Father, always pointed to the Father, always quoted the Father. And the Father was ever present and favorable towards the Son. And when the Father's plans were different than the wishes of the Son still obeyed and trusted. And the Father grieved and loved. You can be a good father. And it's not too late, even if you're old and your children have grown up. And they're gone. Try to restore what you can. Let God help. Leave room for the Spirit. But you can still be a father right here. Right here in this family.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.